Investment Flash.
All right, quick question before we start. What do NVIDIA, diesel, copper, gold, and Bitcoin all have in common this morning? If you didn't say scarcity, buddy, you haven't had your coffee.
Tom's already in form. It's the London edition, Wednesday, August 27th, 2026. I'm Marie with Tom and Gerald. And that takeaway says it all. Everything is a scarcity trade now. That's the tell.
Okay, let's get the obvious one out of the way. NVIDIA dropped a $108 billion next quarter guide, and the stock popped after hours. That's a monster number, and the forward price-to-earnings ratio is only about 16.
16 times forward earnings for a company that just printed growth like that, and it's still 11% below its 52-week high. The long isn't crowded, fine, but only 16 is doing a lot of work when the entire market is pricing perfection.
No, but that's exactly why I like it. The stock slipped 1.6% into the print. Nobody was positioned for this.
And Morgan Stanley is out this morning telling clients to buy the AI buildout through the semiconductor ETF, which is still 17% below its high. That's the expression if you don't want single stock risk.
Wait, Morgan Stanley's buy call is on an AI buildout stock, and you're telling me the semiconductor ETF is the clean way in? That's the same sector that got torched in the last correction.
Which is why it's 17% below the high, buddy. Not crowded. And AMD is the distant number two. No fresh catalyst. So NVIDIA's strength isn't spilling over yet. The pure play is NVIDIA. Gerald, you just called 16 times forward earnings pricing perfection. That's the nicest thing you've said all year.
Fair enough. I'll take you.
Hold on. Before we get too excited about chips, the same tape has Meta agreeing to pay up to $18 billion to settle a block-related case. That's one of the largest social media settlements on record.
And the social media ETF is already down 21% this year, 30% below its high. That regulatory discount is about to get repriced, and not upward.
Yeah, but that's Meta and the whole social complex. I'm not touching that. But the market already knows it's a mess.
Not so fast. The FT Markets framing is that this casts a fresh regulatory shadow over the whole sector. Even the ETF at 30% below high isn't a buy. It's a value trap until the next settlement drops.
Marie gets it. $18 billion is a cash and reputational drag that's only starting to be priced. Now, the part of the tape I actually like, US diesel supplies fell to the lowest seasonal level on record. Bloomberg says global fuel markets have little margin for error, and we're heading into heating and farming demand.
Valero is 1% below its 52-week high after gaining 110% this year. Phillips 66 is 2% below after 85%. That's not a crowded trade, it's a runner.
But Gerald, you're the one who always says buying something at a 52-week high is how you get your face ripped off. What's different here?
The tightness is physical, not a multiple story. The residual upside is in crack spreads, not the stock price. I'd rather own the energy ETF, 4% below its high. Cleaner way to play refined product tightness.
Fair point. The energy ETF is the less drama version.
And here's the contrarian one. Nikkei reports Iran is moving towards charging fees for Hormuz passage, modeled on Turkey's approach. Any friction at that choke point raises crude risk premium and tanker freight rates.
But the market hasn't priced it. Scorpio Tankers fell 3% last session. Frontline fell 5%. And the oil ETF is 17% below its high. That's the setup.
Tom, you're early on this one. Hormuz fee headlines have come and gone before, and the tanker stocks are still below their highs. The trade is early and unconfirmed.
Gerald's right on timing, but the asymmetry is there. If the fee becomes real, tanker rates spike. If not, you're out a small amount.
Bloomberg says Bitcoin and gold ETFs pulled in $7 billion as the scarcity trade surges. Buyers are taking both, not choosing. That's fiscal anxiety, not a directional bet.
And the Bitcoin ETF is still 38% below its high, even after a 7.9% week.
That's an early re-rating, not a crowded chase.
I'm gonna push back here. Gold and Bitcoin both drawing flows at once might mean the scarcity narrative is already consensus. That's when these trades get fragile.
But the price hasn't caught up to the flow. Gold ETF is 17% below its high. That's not consensus in price action. That's just starting.
Exactly.
That's the tell.
Fair enough.
And the scarcity story goes physical. Komatsu is tripling its U.S. maintenance hub to capture AI-driven copper demand. That's a mining equipment company betting real COPEX follows data centers.
But the copper ETF is 2% below its 52-week high. Freeport is up 52% this year and still 2% below high. Most of the move is already in the price.
The incremental signal is Komatsu's expansion, not the copper price. Direct equity exposure to that CapEx cycle is the play, not the commodity itself.
Right. The mining equipment maker is the pickaxe seller, not the gold miner.
Yeah, but don't tell me you're buying Komatsu at these levels.
It's not my trade, Gerald, but the CapEx signal is real. Now, this is the story everyone else is missing. CoinDesk reports the Dallas Fed warns tokenized deposits could strip $700 billion from U.S. banks' lending capacity. Programmable deposits and AI agents automating yield-chasing switching, that's structural disintermediation.
And the bank's ETF is only 5% below its high. JP Morgan is 3% below its high. That downside isn't priced at all.
Meanwhile, Coinbase is 55% below its 52-week high and down 23% this year. That's the beneficiary, and the scenario is far from priced.
The Fed is putting numbers on a theory. Sticky deposits turning hot. That's a banking system problem, not a crypto novelty. Most sell-side models haven't connected these dots.
Fair enough, but that means the trade is pairing. Short the bank's ETF, long Coinbase. That captures the disintermediation without betting the whole farm on one direction.
That's a clever pair, Gerald. I like it.
If tokenized deposits strip $700 billion from lending capacity, bank analysts will still rate their favorite lenders a buy right up until the deposit flight.
Oh, that's brutal.
I mean, she's not wrong. And the other crowded corner, FT Companies argues the world must prepare for recurring agricultural shocks like El Nino. The wheat ETF is at a 52-week high after a 5.3% jump last session.
Corn ETF is also at its high. The weather trade is already crowded, buddy. Every headline is in the price.
The crop shock thesis is widely held. The marginal trade is less about direction than timing. I wouldn't chase wheat here.
Right. The easy money's gone. The weather premium is already in.
Wheat at a 52-week high, and it's still not as inflated as my hopes for a pullback.
Okay.
And a warning from the data center space. AirTrunk's chief executive says community backlash is the biggest hurdle to data center growth. That's permitting and expansion risk.
Digital Realty trades at 67 times forward earnings, and Equinix at 58, both within 7% of 52-week highs. That backlash risk is not in the price.
Which means you watch, not buy. The AI demand is real, but if communities block expansion, those multiples compress fast.
Exactly. Priced for no delays is a risk when the CEO himself says delays are the top issue.
Quick calendar item. Hong Kong's first five-year plan and policy address will be unveiled together on September 16th, per SCMP. The Hong Kong ETF is 7% below its high, plus 4.9% this year.
Policy clarity could support it, but the content is unknown. It's a calendar event, not a directional signal.
So we watch for either direction, not a trade yet.
And as always, none of this is investment advice. Okay, let's step back. The takeaway was everything is a scarcity trait now. We've seen NVIDIA's $108 billion guide, record low diesel, Komatsu tripling for AI copper, and $7 billion into gold and Bitcoin ETFs. That's four parts of the same story.
And the easy expressions are already crowded. Wheat and corn at highs, Valero and Phillips 66 within 2% of theirs. The under-owned end is where price hasn't caught up. Bitcoin ETF 38% below high, Coinbase 55, oil ETF 17. That's the risk map.
But here's the counter-argument. Scarcity is now consensus, and consensus trades are fragile. Valero and Phillips are up 110 and 85% this year, while next to their highs. A warm winter or Hormuz de-escalation would unwind those crack spread longs fast. Same for agriculture. Every weather headline is already in the price.
And for AI, the falsifier would be a downstream order slowdown next quarter. The $108 billion guide makes that unlikely near term, but it's the variable.
But Gerald, the missing piece from today's coverage is the funding side. The Dallas Fed says tokenized deposits could strip $700 billion from bank lending capacity. Yet that story sits only on CoinDesk while everyone chases AI demand. If banks shrink lending, the AI buildout and refinery capex both get more expensive to finance.
That's the undercovered macro risk today. And the cleanest expression isn't a single ticker. It's the dispersion between scarcity haves and have-nots. Long the below-high hedges, like gold and Bitcoin ETFs, short the crowded bank ETF. That pairs fiscal anxiety with disintermediation without paying up for 52-week high weather and refining stories.
That's the trade that survives if consensus scarcity names mean revert.
Exactly.
That's the whole script.
Spot on.
And if you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources. We're back with the New York edition later today at 9 a.m. New York time. Until then, scarcity on, friends.
See you there.
Later, all.